SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, this is Sports Rage, and it looks like it's just a bad take night on this show by everybody. Our guest, including myself, I said that Klay Thompson wouldn't hit 3 3-point shots. He's already 3 for 5 tonight. So Klay Thompson's 3 for 5. He's got 11 points in the game, and now the Mavericks are up. The Warriors were up 33-27 after the first quarter of play. Now it's 48-41 for the Dallas Mavericks. Meanwhile, the Kentucky Wildcats have clawed back, though, into the game. That's the good news. The bad news is because they've come back, they're coming back because they've shut Duke down suddenly. They're outscoring Duke 24-18 in the second half. Duke are up 64-61 right now. So it should be a fun finish, but I don't know about this total as the game is slowing down. But hey, the in-game total is 155.5. Let's bring in Tommy Lorenzo right now, a fellow Dodger fan in the house. Good to see you, Tommy. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Pleasure, Gabe and Cam. Thanks for having me. A
lot of Dodger fans. Lot, don't you think? Yes.
Well, we are the best organization in sports, so I don't understand why. See, that's what Dave Roberts said basically after a couple of drinks when they won.
Yeah.
He said, not only are we the model franchise in baseball, but I think we're the best organization in all of sports.
Wow, a few strong words. You can say those types of things.
Yeah,
no, but there's they have fans, but. There's not a ton. You know what it is? It's Rob Vino. That's why. Rob Vino's a Dodger fan, too. So it feels like there's a lot, Cam. But that's it. It ends there. There's no who else is a Dodger fan.
It ends there. Well, a lot of people on the West Coast, I would assume. And
Our boy Matthias is a bandwagon Dodger fan.
Yeah.
Like,
you know,
like, he lives in L.A. No, but I say that respectfully. Like, if they're bad, he's not losing sleep at night if they lose. But if they win, he's happy. Right, it's one of those, like, you know.
Yeah, with the Dodgers, I mean, you have the loyal fans that kind of tail off if they're not doing well. I think it's hard to find bandwagon Dodger fans. Oh, Yankees, Red Sox, you find people that kind of latch on them. But with the Dodgers, I think it's either, you know, you're a Dodger fan from young. I don't think.
Or you hate them. You're right.
Well, a lot, you know, there's a lot of hate.
And I never really thought of it because we didn't win for that much, you know, that long, right? So, but I get it. There was an arrogance level, and I'm a Michigan fan too, and it's the same thing, right? Mm-hmm. Like, Michigan fans are pretty arrogant for a team. We've won once and like twice in the last 30 years type of deal, right? But there's level of arrogance. But I don't really view it that way, just being a lifelong Dodger fan since a kid. But people will kind of look at us, Tommy, like we're Duke or something, right?
Yeah,
we're almost like the new Yankees. Oh, you buy your players and all the Dodgers, not fair, and this and blah, blah, cry this and cry that. Like, shut up. We had the highest rated World Series in years with the Dodgers and Yankees. So I hate to say it, but nobody cares about it. Yeah.
I will say this, though, Gabe, for a guy that's in a metal band and lived on the streets, you do like a lot of teams that are at the elite level. Like, you, other than the Raptors, you don't like any, like, teams that are, like, nosebleed crap. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Michigan high, Dodgers high.
But Bills. Michigan have won two titles, like I said, since the 40s. They won in the late 90s and they won last year.
Yeah.
So it's not like they win a lot. You know, I mean, they're a popular team, but they don't win a lot. The Dodgers have sprinkled. You know, this is kind of the best run the Dodgers have ever had, actually, in franchise history, to be honest. Kind of like going along with the 50s or whatnot. And they want more, right? They're talking about this will be their decade, so to speak. They got Ohtani under contract. We'll see if they get Sasaki. If they pull off the Sasaki deal, and hell, who knows? I think it's worth a bet, guys, that Juan Soto. What do you think, Tommy, about Juan Soto ending up with the Dodgers at plus 800, just as a fun bet, plus 800. And even though I should know better, the Blue Jays are like, what's the? Let me see the updated Blue Jay number right now. But it's like deja vu all over again, guys. It's just like last year. Yeah, John Heyman today in the New York Post. That was the big story. Blue Jays are all in on Soto. Expect them to put together a huge package. What do you think, Tommy, for betting purposes? I'll get the new odds up here.
Well, didn't Shohei take a flight to Toronto supposedly, and he was about to sign there? Another saying,
yeah, which wasn't true.
That wasn't true at all. They lied. He wasn't on the plane.
Yeah, so I don't know. 800 plus 800. I mean, I guess it's worth some pizza money. I don't know. I'd probably want more. It just doesn't seem very likely that Soto would end up there. Just like the Ohtani rumors, for some reason, you know, people were saying his odds dropped. Toronto was like, when I think third or fourth favorite for a little bit there when all the rumors got going. But, you know,
well, the Blue Jays are 18 to 1 with Soto. That's why, like, the Dodgers are 8 to 1. And I think the Dodgers.
Oh,
look,
okay.
If the Dodgers offered Soto money, I doubt he would say no, right? If they matched it. He was talking about how he wanted to play with Ohtani before. Also, the Dodgers pretty much have announced that they're moving Mookie Betts into the infield, that they don't want him playing the outfield anymore. So I think they'll re-sign Hernandez. You have Edmund in center. You got Páez. They might go young. We'll see how it plays out. But so speaking of tonight, did you get any action in on this Duke-Kentucky game, Tommy? What are your thoughts on this one?
No action on Duke. You know, I'm actually a Duke fan. But with college football early on in the season, I just take close looks. I don't get too involved till a little, you know, a few more weeks maybe. Then I'll start, you know, getting involved a little bit. I did take a look a couple games ago at that Michigan-Wake Forest game. Almost pulled the trigger on Wake Forest. I thought they were a good home dog. Didn't do it. Wish I would have. But, you know, with college basketball, I like taking a look a little bit before I start, you know, betting. Plus, I'm knee deep in college football right now at NFL that, you know, with college basketball, I do wait till probably the end of November. Then I start going.
So tonight we had the college football playoff rankings that were announced, and we had a wild Mac game in Buffalo tonight. The Buffalo Bulls come back and win the football game. But they're now eligible for a bowl game. Tomorrow we got Northern Illinois and Akron, Eastern Michigan, Ohio, Kent State, Miami, Ohio. Tommy, do you get involved in these midweek MAC games at all, or is it too much of a circus for you to want to touch it?
No, I do. I had Ball State plus 4.5 tonight, so I was happy for me and you because you had Buffalo on the money line, which was the right play. I thought I was home free with that bet, but it went into overtime, and you know it was a crazy finish. But yeah, no, I do like the MAC games. I think there are some betting opportunities there. Actually, tomorrow I'm leaning Eastern Michigan. I think it's too many points, 10.5, 11 points. With Eastern Michigan, Ohio is one of the better teams in the MAC, but I think Eastern Michigan can go in as a road dog and keep it somewhat close. I think the line's a little too high. As far as the other games, I really like Miami of Ohio, but I don't know if I'm going to lay, you know, 30.5 points on a Wednesday night game. I'm not sure if I'm going to pull the trigger on that one. Not sure about that.
Wow. These MAC games are a handicapping challenge all the time. Like because they're all big point spreads and yeah, like you really, you know, they're always hard. It's never an easy handicap.
Would you not say though, Gabe? Since we've started, remember the first night, dogs went 2-0. Buffalo wins, but we got a cover. Like the dogs cover a lot more than the favorites do. In my opinion,
well, you get these monster point spreads, but well, yeah. tonight Bowling Green covered. Toledo murdered Central Michigan tonight, so Buffalo was the only favorite not to cover, and it was such a short price. It went down to 3.5, and I didn't like laying 70 cents on it, but I know the Buffalo Bulls well enough to know not to lay, like, 4 points. I was like, you know, I think they could win this game. You know what? I want to hit this on the other side, guys. BYU just get no respect this team on a weekly basis when it comes to the point spreads. I'm seeing here now Kansas and BYU. BYU -3. Like, seriously? Like, what am I missing here? Like, this isn't Kansas basketball. The football team is greatly overrated. More on the other side.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Times, man, 4th-and-3, 4th-and-7, and like on 1st and 2nd and 3rd down, they get sacked, they lose yards, and like it really was one of those just sort of miracle type of wins to beat Utah. And I don't think Kansas are that good, so I know it's, you know, oh, you're coming off a big win, but these guys are playing, they're on a collision course with the Colorado Buffaloes, which is an amazing story if it comes to pass. I can't wait to see that if it happens. The Colorado Buffaloes versus the BYU Cougars, guys, where spot with a playoff on the line. What's that, Cam? What do you want to say?
No, I was saying, if people don't remember, BYU scored on the last throw of the game, and it was not from, like, it was like a 30-yard whatever, a bomb to beat Oklahoma State. That saved their season. And it was just one of those, and people are like, I can't believe they won. You're right. The destiny term applies, because that's the thing. And Oklahoma State's having a horrible year, and BYU, like, they were losing the whole game. Oh, man, that was a crazy win that they had. You're right. There might be a team of destiny.
So that's one of the big games. Not a lot of sort of marquee matchups this week. It's sort of the calm before the storm. All these big games are coming up in the next couple of weeks. But as far as the top 25 and the playoff implication games, the other big one, Tennessee and Georgia. Tommy, any thoughts on this one? So it looks like Nico's good to go, they say, from the Tennessee quarterback. And the Georgia Bulldogs are 10-point favorites. Have they shown you enough to be laying 10 points in a football game, Tommy, the Georgia Bulldogs?
You know, it's going to sound strange for me to say they haven't, but I'm probably going to lay the 10. This line is just so bizarre, especially with the QB there. You know, you thought the injury, maybe the line got skewed because of that. My power numbers only show Georgia being 3 or 4 points better, and you've seen Georgia against tough defenses. They've not played well. Going back to that Kentucky game and a few other games against good defenses, you know, and Carson Beck's not doing very well. So there's a lot of things here that don't make a lot of sense for this line to be at 10. Maybe Georgia, you know, comes out angry bunch and just blows them out after what happened last week against Ole Miss. That might be the logic here. It's just a very strange line to me for it to be 10 points with Tennessee. And frankly, when it's that weird, I start looking the other way. I think Georgia may – you know, 2-touchdown win here, maybe.
I see the Colorado Buffaloes are 10.5-point favorites against the Utah Utes. So the odds makers have caught up to Colorado. I've been riding them. I laid the points again last week at Texas Tech, but now we're getting into a pretty high territory. Texas lay 13.5 at Arkansas right now. Clemson are 10-point road favorites at Pittsburgh. Here's a fun one, and you know what? I'm kind of pulling for them to get into a bowl game. Guys, and I was all over them last week, Tommy, the UCLA Bruins against the Iowa Hawkeyes. It was homecoming night. They were 0-3 on their home field. But UCLA are a very good road team. They've got three games, outright wins on the road. They won in Hawaii. They won in Nebraska. They won at Rutgers. They've shown an ability to go on the road. Now they're going on the road here, but a traditional old school, they're used to this one. We got an old school Pac-12 teams going head-to-head in Big Ten matchup right now. The Washington Huskies laying 3.5. But once again, the odds makers are respecting the UCLA Bruins here. We're only getting 3.5.
Yeah, the market has caught up to UCLA. They've been undervalued, like you said. Ethan Garbus is doing a solid job. Their quarterback playing very well, not making mistakes. And, you know, they're playing hard for their coach. I like UCLA in this spot. I like the 3 in the hook here. Washington is inconsistent. I think they're well coached, but there's something about that team that, you know, when they face a little adversity in a game, they tend to fold a little bit. So if UCLA comes out,
that guy makes bad mistakes. I think they'll be fun. Bad mistakes at the worst time.
Yeah, they feel the pressure. I think UCLA could be a live dog here for sure.
Yeah, I wish we were getting a little bit more, but they are a very good road team. And you know what, too? You know that offense is complicated with Bieniemy there. So they got Eric Bieniemy calling the plays. You got Foster on the sideline. People ridiculed the hire and called him out earlier in the year. But, dude, they're a covering machine, right? They're 6-3 against the spread right now. They're in all these football games. And if you look at the teams that they lost to, the UCLA Bruins, they played, like, what, four, you know, top 15 teams or whatever. They went to Baton Rouge. They played LSU. They went to Penn State. They hosted the Oregon Ducks, and they hosted Indiana at the Rose Bowl earlier in the year. So, like, that's not easy for any team. Yeah, like, you know what I mean? Any team would have some losses. So let's take a look at the NFL. What do you think about the big divisional tilt on Thursday, Tommy, here with the Commanders and the Eagles?
Well, what I like about the Eagles is that their defense is surging pretty hard, and that's what you need to do against the Commanders. When your defense is on point and you can pressure Jaden Daniels a little bit, keep him under control, I think that's when you have a chance to win. I think the Eagles are surging. I think they're quietly, you know, everyone's talking about the Lions and some of the other NFC teams, but the Eagles are very quietly putting their defense together very well. I think the offense will come along. I think they sputtered a little bit at the beginning, but I like their defense versus Washington here. Don't like the hook, but at 3.5, I'm probably leaning Eagles in this one.
Yeah, there's been so much focus all the time on Nick Sirianni and, you know, his interactions with the media or with fans. But as you stated, this defense, and I'm trying to find, I had this list up before of what they've done over, like, since the bye week. But their defense, you got the Fangio defense in here, which I kind of question, but they've started to figure it out in a big-time way. I've been riding the Commanders a lot this year, too. Yeah, they're kind of hitting a wall a little bit right now. Cam, what's your pick for the Commanders and Eagles game?
Yeah, I want to take the Commanders, but something's telling me the Eagles are the play. Also, you got to remember one thing. You know, Washington played a Pittsburgh team on a short week, a very physical team, where Philadelphia, as I said before, Morenci, got basically a bye playing a horrible Dallas Cowboys team, not as physical. So I would say Washington's coming in this game a little more beat up, because when you play the Steelers, you get hit. You get mauled. So lean to the Eagles to win this game. Spread's about right. I think the Eagles will probably win by around four to seven.
So the Eagles are laying 3.5. It's 48.5 right now. Some big-time divisional games this week. You got this one, the Baltimore Ravens laying 3 points in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh haven't lost since Russell Wilson has taken over. The total is 48.5 in that football game. The Seattle Seahawks are getting 6.5. Their season has been slipping away, but when you look at the standings and the record, they're still in this thing in the NFC West, but they need to win a game that the people don't expect them to win. All right, we'll wrap up with Tommy on the other side. We got Rick Saratella coming up as well.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we got some drama in Atlanta right now. 72-72 in the Champions Classic. The Kentucky Wildcats have outscored Duke 36-26. 35-26 in the second half, and now we got a tie game. I'm on Kentucky plus the points, but I've also got the over. So I'm actually hoping for overtime because I got more on the overs than I do. You know, I'm not really worried about blowing a point spread in overtime. I'd rather just get there, and I'll take my chances after. But we'll see what happens. Like I said, these teams, they're both in the bonus. So, you know, there's still going to be some free throw drama coming up here before we're done. All right, we only got a couple more minutes with Tommy Lorenzo. We appreciate his time. Tommy, I brought up the Baltimore and Pittsburgh game. Big-time matchup, divisional matchup. They're longtime rivals and one of the best new rivalries in the National Football League. Sort of the new Manning and Brady, Colts and Patriots sort of tilt with the annual Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes Bowl. And I brought it up earlier. They play all the time, these teams. Generally, a couple of times they play twice a year because they play in the playoffs again. But the Bills have actually beaten them 3 of the last 5 times they played. Unfortunately for the Bills, the 2 games that they lost were in the playoffs that they lost to them. So they've been able to beat them in the regular season, Tommy.
Yeah, they have, and I think this is going to be a close one. I think the line is where it should be. I'm actually looking for the under in this game. I still think KC's defense shows up, but I don't think KC's offense is going to be able to do enough. I was a little concerned last week. Yes, Denver has a good defense, but at home, you expected a little more out of KC offensively, and it just wasn't there. I think it'll be a tough environment on the road for KC. Like we talked about off air, Mahomes knows when he's an underdog. But in this game, you know, 23-20, 23-21 Buffalo win is what I see here, and I think it stays under the 46.
Yeah, interesting, because they've had a lot of track meets in the past when they played. But, you know, Buffalo run the ball a lot more right now. This is going to have a playoff-type atmosphere to it. And it's really a shame for everybody, actually, just from, well, you know, not everybody. It depends who you're a fan of. But just from a general fan perspective, that if KC would have lost last week, then, you know what, the one seed would be at stake in this game. Yet it's got to start somewhere. So if Buffalo beats them, maybe it starts a little bit of a spiral for the Chiefs at some point down the road. But what do you think about the Steelers and the Ravens game? As I stated, since Russell Wilson's taken over, the offense has been proficient, And he's generally, this is an energized football team right now on both sides of the football. They're getting 3 points on their home field. What do you think?
Yeah, this is another one where it's strange to see an AFC North matchup like this one. And the spread, or the total, I should say, is in the high 40s. It's just a different type of deal now.
I remember these teams in the past, the total was 37 and a half, 36 and a half.
Now it's like 10, 12 points more than what it usually is. You know, I still have to lean towards Lamar Jackson here and the better quarterback. It's risky because, man, the Steelers always have the right game plan. You saw it last week against Washington. But I think the Ravens are still overall the better team and have the better quarterback. But you can't knock the Steelers with what they're doing and how Russell Wilson's been playing either.
All right, we've got about 2 minutes with you on the way out here. Anything else in the NFL? So you're in the you're on the West Coast. What do you think of the Chargers and the Bengals game on Sunday night? Mm-hmm. Kind of a must win. If you look at the playoff picture, Denver are still holding on to the last playoff spot, as crazy as it sounds, with a 5-5 record. The Colts are behind them at 4-6, but the Colts aren't going anywhere with Joe Flacco. So the Bengals are 4-6. They're right there. But if they're going to actually do this, they need to start stringing some wins together. What do you think about the Sunday nighter against a resurgent Charger team right now?
Very interesting game. I just think the Chargers defense is going to be the difference in the game. You know, the whole Harbaugh thing, I was a little skeptical at the beginning of the season. Like, you know, it's going to take them a season or two to get going. Personnel changes there with the Chargers. But, I mean, they've proved it to me. I was on them last week. I laid the big number. I'm probably going to be on them again here. You know, I like them at home. You know, they say the home field advantage isn't there at SoFi for them. I don't know how many Bengals fans are going to come out here to Southern California. I'm sure there'll be plenty. But, I like the Chargers at home. They're not laying a lot of points, and I just like their defense at home. I think they'll take care of business against the Bengals.
Tommy, where can people find you online?
At Sportsbook Tom on Twitter, and Cover the Weekend is the weekly podcast.
Great stuff as always, Tommy. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, Cam and Gabe. You take care. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Tommy.
Great stuff with Tommy Lorenzo. Just for the record, the Kraken were down 2-0. They've responded with 4 straight goals.
Yeah!
4-2 Seattle right now. Right. Meanwhile, the Canucks always spot the lead. 8 straight games. They're up 2-1 right now. Islanders and Oilers tied at 3 late.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Twisted Tuesday continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morency, Sports Grid Radio and Television Network, SiriusXM Channel 159. With the pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people of Bustlam, Rick Saratella, and everybody else in between. We've got a lot of stuff to unpack. Rick, let's do this thing. Always a pleasure. How you doing tonight?
Hey, baby, from coast to coast, buckle up. Let's go.
And countdown to the Grey Cup Championship game is on the 111th Grey Cup Championship in Vancouver on Sunday. And Rick Saratella is going to be in the city this weekend for the big game. We look forward to it. The Winnipeg Blue Bombers and the Toronto Argonauts. It's not the matchup that people in Vancouver wanted to get the BC Lions into the Grey Cup Championship game. But with that being stated, Winnipeg Blue Bomber fans are crazy. They're going to take that stadium over. They're going to be partying hard for their 5th straight Grey Cup. And Chad Kelly gets hurt, so the point spread's getting crazy right now, Rick. The Bombers are 10.5-point favorites over the Toronto Argonauts.
Yeah, it's amazing, but I'll tell you what, that's why they play the games. And Nick Arbuckle, you know, once kind of anointed as one of the next great CFL quarterbacks, has kind of been bouncing around, didn't have a contract, as a matter of fact, as recently as training camp. And Toronto brings him up with the Chad Kelly suspension. We saw the horrific injury to Chad Kelly. Prayers up to him. I hope he's okay. Regardless of all his off-the-field endeavors, you never want to see somebody get injured in such a horrific way. And Nick Arbuckle, I mean, this would be the equivalent, Gabe, of Nick Foles leading the Eagles to a Super Bowl championship. We have the story of an underdog. You know,
I like the Nick reference. Yeah, the big Nick energy here. I like where you're going. I like where you're going with this. And Dude, there was an advanced number, and the point spread was 3.5. That's what the number, that's what the point spread was going to be, all right? FanDuel set numbers for the all four hypothetical Grey Cup matchups going into the semifinal, and Toronto were getting 3.5 against Winnipeg, and now it's 10.5 because Chad Kelly is out. And with all due respect to Chad Kelly, it's far too much of an overreaction. As you stated, this is Nick, and the CFL, the UFLs, the XFLs, and even the NFL, the Nick Foles stories of the world, the Brad Johnson stories, they're made for guys like Nick Arbuckle. This is his day. This is your shot, bro. Like you said, you've bounced around. You've never really been able to stick somewhere. They believed in you enough to make you, you know, bring you in. And now you get your shot right now. And for me, and listen, the Bombers are playing great football, Rick. We can't dispute this. These guys are on the war path. They've been to 4 straight championships. They've lost the last 2. You can tell they have a chip on their shoulder. But with that being stated, Kadeem Carey's a good running back. And the Argos have a lot of talent, Rick. You know, you're a scout. And, you know, with the, it's Rick's a scout with the Edmonton Elks. The Argos have a super amount of talent. They're not just about a quarterback. And they're one of the few teams in the CFL that can run the football. They're also good with the little dump off screenplays to the Kadeem Carey. I think they can hang, bro, with the Bombers. I think 10.5 is too high.
Yeah, I think this is a well-coached team. It's a team in terms of depth, right? And you talk about these two front offices. I think it's 5 straight championship appearances for Winnipeg. I could be mistaken.
Yeah, 5th straight. Yeah, no, it's their 5th straight. I've said they made the last 4. They've made the last 4, so this is their 5th in a row.
Unbelievable. And those guys, I know those guys in that front office, they grind their asses off on both sides of the ball. And this is going to be a competitive matchup. There's no way this is going to be a blowout. I see a close game. I might smell an upset special. I don't know until I get out there in the rare air of Vancouver from the Jersey coast to the BC coast. I can't wait, baby. Buckle up.
You know what? I was going to say we'll get a feeling for how the teams are handling the festivities during the week, but whoever parties more, let's bet on them. People always think, oh, you know what I'm saying? It's always the opposite. It's like, oh, I saw the Bombers out getting hammered last night. Good. You know what I mean? It means they're gonna play well, probably. But it's going to be a fun football game on a Sunday. All right, so, Rick, there's a lot. We're basically the only show in North America or the world that talks about the draft and the odds on a weekly basis year-round. Like, we're, you know, we hit this year round. And of course, Rick founded the NFL Draft Bible. So now a lot of other people are suddenly starting to talk about the draft. Rick, we're starting to get to the time of the year right now where people are starting to look at the draft order. And there was some confusion after Adam Schefter said the Giants had the number one pick. But he should have clarified they had the number one pick at the time that he was speaking, right? After they lost to the Panthers. So the fact of the matter is the Jags would have the number one pick for the 3rd time in the last 5 years, which is pretty embarrassing. Now, it doesn't mean these standings will play out, but as of right now, the Jags are number 1, the Giants are number 2, the Titans are 3, the Browns are 4. And what are your thoughts on this right now, Rick? As I want to get to the New York Giants situation with them picking with the 2nd pick, but who knows as far as the Jags are concerned, right? Is Peterson going to be back? They're kind of stuck with Trevor Lawrence unless somebody shocks the world and, you know, trades for him. This is a unique situation for them. And one of the reasons why Travis Hunter is only plus 400 right now, be the number 1 pick in the draft.
Well, I will say that I don't know off the top of my head what Doug Peterson's contract status is, but if he's under contract for next year, this is a cheaply ran organization, which is why free agents don't want to go play for this team. And it's no surprise they got the number 1 pick. So if Doug Peterson is under contract, he will be back. They're not going to pay him, hire another guy, pay him also. That's not how Shad Khan operates. This is a penny-pinching organization. They play multiple games overseas. They've just committed, I think, $40 million a year to Trevor Lawrence. So common sense and logic tells me they're going to look to trade out of this spot, not have to pay that number 1 pick money. They already have a franchise quarterback. You talk about the Giants at number 2, the Titans at number 3. You could even make an argument for the Browns at number 4. They would all love a quarterback, whether that's Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders. I think those are the 2 quarterbacks that are really jockeying for the top of the draft at this point.
And Doug Peterson is still under contract going into next year. So it's a very good point as far as Rick is concerned. You know what? You know why they don't have money, Rick? They're too busy paying over the hill wrestlers big money in their wrestling company. Tony, right? They got the football team and the wrestling company. And the wrestling company is actually probably better run than the football team is.
And so and also remember, Gabe, what he walked into was that Urban Meyer fiasco. And he mopped that up pretty good, right? And so, like, where Urban Meyer had it and where Doug Peterson brought it, now, granted,
but it's fallen right back now. It's gone right back down right now, right? That's the problem. Despite the number one picks and adding the talent, and it's sort of like the New York Giants. So, listen, John Mara came out earlier in the year. It was October, and he said, we're not making any changes. I've got full confidence in Dable. I got full confidence in Shane. Well, that was then. This is now. And clearly the confidence has to be starting to be lost. And I know you thought that there needs to be a change there. Like, point blank, listen, let's say that hypothetically they have the number one or the number two pick of the draft. Can you trust Joe Shane and Brian Dable with this process? And number two, do you want to trust them to be the coach and the GM of this moving forward with this new star player that you bring in? And I would have to say no. Haven't we seen enough from Dable and Shane's regime to say that they need to make a change in New York? And there needs to be a quarterback change, a coaching change, and a general manager change.
When the owner walks into your office and literally begs and pleads for you to keep the franchise player, and you say, nah, buddy, we're good. We got Devin Singletary. Hey, by the way, did you see that Tyrone Tracy fumble the other night? Hey, Saquon Barkley doesn't do that, my friends. And by the way, to me, Shane and Dable were fired as soon as Saquon Barkley did that spinorama upside down, backwards.
Yeah, that was that's a good call. I was thinking the same thing.
It was over.
When Mara saw the highlight of that, he's like, all right, this is it. It's done. It's over. You know, it's amazing to me. The owner tells him, I'm going to lose sleep at night if we lose him, and he signs with the Eagles. Like, and here we are. So I'm assuming Mara's not sleeping
for him. Everybody knew he was signing with the Eagles. Everybody knew he was signing with the Eagles.
Except Joe Shane.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Twisted Tuesday continues. This is Sports Rage. I'm Marencio. I'm going to talk fast because there's a lot of stuff I want to get to. So, Rick, the New York Giants are just a disaster. It's like a race to the bottom every week with the Jets and the Giants. The Jets are one. You know, they're another story because of the money that they've spent and because of the players that they have. But the New York Giants, it's constant. It's, you know, it's a yearly thing with this football team. The changes have to be made. Let me ask you, Bill Belichick, next coach of the New York Giants, buying or selling? Seems to me it's a perfect fit, bro. It goes full circle. And if I'm the Maras, you got to do something, man. You like, seriously, like, you know what I mean? You're the New York Giants. Like, if you're a relevant franchise, make a relevant move. And, hell, you could argue that the game and the modern player has sort of passed Belichick by. I would listen to that side of that argument. But the fact of the matter is he's Bill Belichick, and it would bring credibility to the New York Giants. Like, if there's a team in the NFL, it's a good fit for him. And we know he wants to coach. It's the New York Giants. What do you think?
I'm not opposed to it personally, but wouldn't that be full circle? They want to run Tom Coughlin out of the house and then come full circle and bring back
Billy
Belichick.
Well, they love their military sergeant-type coaches, right? Parcells, yeah. Coughlin, well, you know, that's what they like, you know?
I do believe Bill Belichick is going to be the head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders.
Whoa.
I think Tom Brady.
He's got the 24-year-old girlfriend. He's going all flash. We're moving to Vegas, baby, you're saying. Wow.
Yeah, I think so, because I think Tom Brady wants to have Bill Bell. I think Tom Brady's going to have a big hand in the personnel decisions. I hear Tom Brady wants to bring in Bill Belichick as the next head coach.
You know, and Belichick wants to coach. He would have taken the Atlanta job. He got close to it last year, and other teams really didn't want him. So what about
Deion Sanders? How about this? A defensive-minded Rex Ryan knows the media market. He's dying for a second chance.
Yeah, he's begging for it. Yeah, this guy's like, he's on TV. I can do a better. I've never seen a coach, actually. I'm glad you bring this up. I've never seen them, like, coaches, like, it's a fraternity. They all respect each other, blah, blah, even though they don't in real life, but you know what I mean? You're never going to talk about a coach's, like, you know, situation like that. Rex Ryan basically goes on TV every day and says, I can do a better job coaching this team. Hire me.
You know, it's funny. He's never had an interview since, what, Buffalo? He went to back-to-back AFC championships with Mark Sanchez. He comes from a Buddy Ryan, a guy who knows a thing or two about defense. I look around the league, and I'm not saying, like, hey, you know, you chuckle with Rex Ryan and everything that comes with him, but I look around the league, I would say that he's better than maybe half of these bozos. That's just me.
My, how about this for Rex Ryan, New Orleans? Because New Orleans is going to be a job that people aren't really lining up for, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like Ben Johnson, these big time guys aren't going to say, oh, yeah, I'd love to work with Derek Carr for the next 2 years. Like, they got serious cap hell stuff there. Like, they got big time issues. They're an older team. They owe a lot of money. Carr is owed $78 million. Even if you throw him under the bus, it still counts. Like, you've got problems. So the Saints are just sort of a train wreck. And if Rex wants, because, you know what I mean? They're going to have to get sort of a coach that isn't in hot demand in New Orleans. Now, we're just having fun with this, but what about Dion and Shador, a package deal?
Well, you know, I think now with Florida State, what are they, 1-9? There's some. I think there's actually odds on the next Florida State head coach floating around out there.
Hey, I've
there.
Got Coach Terry Bowden on every Friday, Rick. Great stuff. He's a regular. And obviously, you know, he's a Bowden. He knows about Florida State. And me and him have talked a lot about this. And he sort of said the same thing to me. Gabe, you know, I got a lot of respect for Norvell, but, and he basically said, Dion wants that job. Like, deep down inside, like, okay. He wants that job. Like, you know what I mean? Well, dude, he's a Florida State Seminole. And dude, he can recruit like crazy, Dion, man. You got to give him credit, bro. People don't, but you got to give him credit.
It's funny. I was watching a ball with my 78-year-old godfather the other day. He goes, you know, Dion, he's never got the headsets on. Like, does he coach anything? I said, no, he don't know nothing about X's and O's. He's just recruiting. I said, he brought 53 transfers in, more than any other college in the nation. And that's what's going to happen when he goes to Florida State, too. So that's what he is. He's a recruiter. He's a CEO. He delegates. He's got Pat Shurmur, a former NFL head coach, calling his offense. He's got Mike
doing
Zimmer,
a great
former
job,
NFL
Pat is.
Defense. He's got Warren Sapp just hanging out. I mean, this guy, this is what he does.
You're right. He's got T.O. too. T.O. is not technically on the staff, but Terrell Owens is there all the time now. Like, they're basically, it's like the NFL misfit castoffs, and the Buffaloes are a couple of wins away from the college football playoffs, man. They really are. Mm-hmm. So can you see Mara, though? Like, we talked about, like, sort of the Maras, you know. They're basically, you know, cut those sideburns. They're like Steinbrenners. You know what I mean? They're like George Steinbrenner. Shador Sanders with the New York Giants. Do you see that fit working?
I don't, you know, and
Dion, the Maras, the clash of the whole, the Maras won't want the baggage, right?
Deion burned Wellington at the combine. He told you guys, I don't want to be bothered with you guys. You're not inside the top five. So I think that stuff lingers with the Mara family, as funny as it sounds. But I just don't think they want Deion around the program. I don't think they want Shador and that personality on Broadway in New York with all that attention. Like Daniel Jones, Eli Manning, these guys fly under the radar. Right?
They're like, yes, man. Shador ain't going to be a yes, man. So yeah. we only got a couple of minutes. So the Giants are two. Let's say hypothetically Giants Cam Ward. All right. Titans are drafting third. You know, you got the Browns four. So suddenly there are some teams that need quarterbacks here. But Shador has not made a secret of it, like, cryptically. Every time the Raiders lose, he tweets out, God is good and stuff. Like, he wants to be a Raider. Like, he wants to end up in Las Vegas. And he's almost, you know, dude, he was born to be a Raider, this kid.
So Tommy Ballgame's going to get on the phone. First thing he's going to do is hire Bill Belichick. Second thing he's going to do is bring in Shador, trade up, get Shador Sanders. Bill Belichick.
Oh, boy.
Hey, Koski, mark this show, baby. Belichick, Shador Sanders, 2025. That's the presidential ticket in Vegas, baby. Coming for the desert.
If they do that, maybe I'll buy season tickets just to sell them, and I'll go to a couple of games a year because that'll be a big-time show in Vegas. Great stuff, as always. Rick Saratella with us. We'll see you this weekend at the Grey Cup. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, let's roll. We're into the home stretch right now. Thanks to Rick Saratella for joining us. Some interesting stuff that we went over. Shout out to our boy Matt Matthew George, who tweeted in earlier about Bill Belichick. And it seems to me that if you look at Bill Belichick, there's a couple of interesting fits. Now, Rick Saratella said he thinks, and he's hearing, and some people are saying the same thing, that Belichick is going to end up with the Raiders. That, you know, Tom Brady is now one of the owners of the Raiders, and he's being brought in to, like, make decisions, actually, that Davis is going to listen to him, right, as far as the quarterback and the coach moving forward. Yet, I don't really buy it, personally, and I don't know. Maybe Brady will look the other way, and it's just business, but Brady and Belichick really weren't that tight, yeah, right? Like, like, you know what I mean? Like, they don't really, you know what I'm saying? I think it was more Brady. I think Belichick is just indifferent to everybody. They're just all players to him. But, you know, to Brady, I remember I had Tom Brady Sr. on, remember, years ago. And he told me, yeah, cool, thanks, Andy. I remember, yeah, he even put it in his Tom Brady. It was pretty cool. I was in a Tom Brady documentary that they did and stuff, that interview. Amazing. In which he said to me at the time, and it was, you know, they were going to the Super Bowl. It was like, we're right on a Super Bowl. And he said, you know, Gabriel, Tom knows, and I know that he won't end his career with the New England Patriots because we think that Tom can play until he's like 45. He actually said it. Like, he goes, the Patriots will want to get rid of him before he's done. And I remember, like, right after that, after the interview and stuff, it actually went viral and stuff, and Brady told his father, don't tell people these things. Like, don't talk, like, so openly. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and I remember another time, Brady's father said something another time, not to me, but he said something another time, and Brady got mad for real and told him, you got to stop, like, saying these things publicly. Mm-hmm. But, so there's no love lost. They did throw Brady under the bus, like, point blank. And it caused a rift between Belichick and Kraft because they got worse and Brady won the Super Bowl. Right? Like, Belichick told Kraft, you know, he's older, we can move on, and we'll be fine. You weren't fine. The Patriots still suck. And Brady got another ring with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So, like, mm-hmm. Brady won that battle. So I'm not so sure that Brady's in a hurry to hire Belichick. Plus, Belichick is so old school, you know, but the Giants are a perfect fit for him. That's where he started. It's full circle. And right. The Mara family always like the hard-ass coaches. That's why, like, sort of like Shador Sanders. Like, Shador Sanders, the second, you know, the Giants have the second pick in the draft as of right now. They won't take Shador Sanders. He's too flashy. They didn't take Micah Parsons because they thought he had too much baggage. And then instead they took the Kadarius Toney, who ended up being a psycho that they got rid of after. Like, the Giants are real morons. So, like, you know what I mean? They'll be like, no, we don't want Shador running our team and being the face of this and all that. So, I think they could go with Cam Ward, though. I think they can go with Cam Ward. I could see Belichick being the coach there. But I think Belichick will be back, Cam. But I don't think it'll be with Dallas are going to need a coach. But I don't think he'll want the Dallas job. Great. And I don't think Jerry will want to hire him because he's too much of a – they clash too much, you know?
It's basically like when you're looking at, like, the lineup and you see the photos, like, that guy with the parted hair, that white guy who went to Duke, let's draft Daniel Jones. He's a perfect fit for the – you said it. Like, the Giants are that team that, like, they don't want any type of guy. Oh, we got into a little bit of trouble and this and that. Like, you know what I mean? They play it safe, but safe isn't good all the time. That's the problem.
No, they've got to catch up. Like they've got to do something. And Daniel Jones, and I'm not even sure Dable is the answer there. All right. So as far as the hockey games right now, 2-1 Canucks. So it really slowed down. They gave up the first goal like they always do. 8 straight games they've given up the first goal, but then they come back. They scored 2 goals in the second period. They have a 2-1 lead over to Vancouver. Have a 2-1 lead over the Flames. Going into the third period of play, the in-game total is 5.5 right now. I'm inclined to believe that the Canucks won't blow this lead tonight, that they win this game 3-1, maybe, you know what I mean, maybe 3-2 or something like that. But yeah. I would lean 4-1. I would lean, though, with the under 5.5 on the way out here, even though it is minus 160. That's just my personal opinion. 4-2 for the Kraken after 2 periods of play as well. 8.5 is the total there, Cam. And you know what? I think that game has slowed down, too. I think the Jackets have hit the wall tonight. I think this game, under 8.5.
I like both unders, but, man, I can't believe I got the Kraken at that price, Gabe. 4 straight goals. Don't get up. Let's get it done.
Other than that, you're on your own. Later.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.